I just about got nervous there. It's great to be back with you in Capital City. It's a joy, a privilege, and an honor. Great to be in Missions Conference. I tell you what, looking at those pictures and considering all the people around the world without the Lord, it puts a big burden on you, doesn't it? Should. And we need to do a lot more than just play church, I'll tell you that. And we can do something for the Lord. Usually when I'm preaching in Missions Conference, since I've been here, try to tie a theme together sometimes, preach a series of things if I'm going to preach more than once. I don't feel like I'm going to do that this week. But I do want to start tonight with a message I just recently preached through Daniel over at Shady Acres in Houston a couple weeks ago. I see some missionaries here tonight that will have already heard this message. Hopefully it'll be unique enough for you to get something out of it, but I really feel impressed that the Lord would have us revisit this text that I was looking at. Take your Bibles, please, with me to the book of Daniel, chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. The Bible says, I'll just read one verse, we'll pray and ask God to help us tonight. Daniel 1 verse 8, the Bible says, you know it, you should be very familiar with the verse. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Let's pray together. Father, would you please have your perfect will in our hearts tonight. Would the Spirit of God please speak and work in our lives? Lord, we don't believe in any superheroes of the Bible. You said that they were men of like passions, such as we are. And Lord, as I read my Bible, I just believe that Daniel was a man like I am. And Daniel was a young man, just like the young men that are in this building. And we pray, oh God, that somehow, in some way, that you would do a work in our hearts, that you might be able to use us as a vessel, as you used Daniel to reach a world. And we'll thank you and praise you for that work and give you the credit and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Would you look at chapter 2 with me? I want to read a couple of highlights in the book of Daniel here before we go back to our text. I believe, and I have to believe it as I read this book of the Bible, that one man can reach a world. I would love to have 1 million missionaries to reach billions of people. But I can't explain this, but God doesn't even need 1 million missionaries. God can use one. I can't explain that. But as I read the book of Daniel, I read about a man that changed his world and influenced his world for the God of heaven in a very unusual way that could never have been planned out, that could never have been figured out in a missions conference, that could never have been taught in a college or Bible institute. But God did something with one man throughout his life to literally influence, as I look at history, at least I would say 200 years of human history and at least two separate worldwide kingdoms. And the Bible tells me over here in Daniel chapter 2 in verse 46, after this part of Daniel's influence upon the man that was the king of all the earth at that time, after God used Daniel in such a way in chapter 1 and 2, the king Nebuchadnezzar said this in Daniel 2:46. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshiped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. He was convinced from Daniel about who God was. It progresses even further than that, not just in the life of Nebuchadnezzar, but throughout the whole world. In Daniel chapter 4, if you'll look at it, please, Daniel chapter 4, the Bible says in verse number 1, Daniel 4, verse 1, again, after God continues to use Daniel in the life of this king in this chapter, the Bible says in Daniel 4:1, Nebuchadnezzar the king, would you look at the reading of your Bible? You talk about a mission program. Well, I love faith promise. I think faith promise is the right way. I think we ought to put our heart in it. I'm for how we're trying to reach the world with the gospel. But here when I read this text, I read that God reached the whole world in a way that I could have never. Yes, through one man. Look at it, 4:1, Nebuchadnezzar the king, watch it, unto all people. Yes, sir. Boy, I look at these slides and I say, man, there's a lot of people out there. I wish I could get to them. I wish I could get the gospel of them. I wish I could read or show them Christ. Here is one man that influenced another man that gave a message unto all people. Look at your Bible, nations. Not just his nation, but all the nations, all the people, all the nations. And look, and languages. He's not just getting it out to one language. He's getting this message out to all the people and all the nations and all the languages that dwell in all the earth. And this king of the earth at this time sends out a message to all people. And when we look at the end of this message that he gives under the influence of Daniel, the Bible tells us in verse 34, and at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? I say that's a pretty good message. Look at verse 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. A worldwide message from God. Preacher, what can I do? I really don't know, but if we would offer ourselves, maybe he could do more than we thought he could do. Do you have the devil ever climb up on you and say what you're doing is not very important? What difference can you make in a world of billions of people? What can your little giving do? What can your little witness do? What can your little life do? Boy, I'm glad for that little kid song, This Little Light of Mine. It's a little light, but I'm going to let it shine. And maybe it'll shine just a little farther than I think it will. And maybe God, you see, this message is about the possibility of God reaching a whole world with one individual.
But it's not about the individual. It's about the God that's able to take the individual and do the impossible. And I don't think the limitation tonight is on God. I think the limitation tonight is upon the Daniels.
Well, Daniel, evidently God's not finished with him because he moves even into another kingdom. And the Bible says in Daniel chapter 6, as God uses him and he's thrown into the den of lions, and this is the kingdom of Media Persia, and this is King Darius, who now is the king over all the earth. And when God gets through with Daniel using him in the life of this man, the Bible says in verse 25, if you look with me please, then King Darius wrote unto all people. Are you reading what I'm reading? He wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth. That sounds like a missionary program. That sounds like the good news going into all the earth and to every creature and to every nation and to every people and to every language. How'd you do it, God? Well, I found somebody I could use. I make a decree. I'm the king of the known world, and I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and the earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Can you imagine the whole world getting this message, and they say, man, we got to find out about this Daniel and about his God. But you know, it doesn't even stop in Media Persia. Look at verse 28. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of who? You ever heard that name in the Bible? Daniel's influence hits another king after him. And King Cyrus, you know what he says? He says, hey, all you people that are named by the God of heaven, by the way, if you guys want to go back and rebuild that temple and do the work of God, why don't you do it? Because I just saw something real in this boy that's sitting right back here next to me. And that's got to be a real God. And I'll pay for it. Wow. We don't have a little God. We don't have a confused God. We have a God that's able to do wonders. Amen. 16 years after that, there's a Jewish lady sitting as the queen of the world. You think all that's coincidence? And we have the book of Esther. But you would have none of those stories. You would have none of that witness for God in all the world without Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. Yes, sir. But Daniel purposed in his heart. No other story without that verse. Daniel purposed in his heart. Now that word purpose is a wonderful word. It's a dual word. The word purpose can be a noun, and the word purpose can be a verb. You say, why are we doing this? Because it's important. Words mean things. That's why God wrote the Bible, so you could understand things. Daniel would have never purposed in his heart. That's the action. That's the verb. Are you with me? Come on now, you guys know English? I mean, how are we going to reach a world if we can't even learn our own language? We can't learn somebody else's language. Amen. Don't get nervous when we learn something at church. Purpose, a noun. I have a purpose.
Okay? That means I have a reason. I have a, you know, I have a, there's a foundation for my life. I have a purpose. That's a noun. But the Bible says Daniel purposed in his heart. That's action. That's a verb. But what I want to tell you tonight is I do not believe that Daniel could have ever purposed in his heart if he did not first have a purpose in his heart. If he did not see a purpose for his life, there would have been no purpose out of his heart. There would have been no determination. That's the verb, purpose. There would have been no resolve. In other words, Daniel had a center of gravity in his life. And oh, I tell you, that seems to be an insurmountable thing to me when I look at his life. What's the purpose of my life? Drug off to a strange land by myself? What's the purpose of my life? I didn't grow up, I'm not going to have the life like my predecessors had. I'm away from the place where God, I was always taught God was. I'm in this wicked Babylon. You couldn't have gotten into a more wicked place. Babylon the Great is even mentioned as the great harlot at the end of the book of Revelation to show you the depth of the wickedness of man. And Daniel said, you know, he could have just hung his head and blamed God or just sucked his thumb and said, I just can't do anything about it. What can I do? But he didn't do that. He had a purpose in his life. He had a reason for being there. God put him there. God put a missionary there. Been hard to figure that out if you were Daniel. Been hard to reason out, well, what will be the profit of my life now? I guess this accident of my life. You know what I see in people's eyes? I see in people's eyes no reason to live today. They don't have a reason to live. They have no purpose to exist. Or maybe the purpose that they think they have in life, when it crumbles, then they don't have anything to live for. Because they didn't have the right purpose of life. Have you read all these? Have you read any of these stories about all these people that kill everybody and these mass murders? A lot of them are young guys, like this kid in Oregon. You know, I read some. You know what that guy spent his time doing? Playing video games and killing zombies. And he said, you know, I don't have a girlfriend. I don't have anything to live for. He had no purpose in his life. He had no reason to live. But if we're not careful, we can get in the same trap, or we'll put up something in our life that we think is our reason to live, and then it just comes to pieces, and then we say, why? And that could have been Daniel, and that probably would have been Daniel if he'd been like us. I thought my reason to live was the temple. I'm a child of Hezekiah. You read back there that Isaiah told Hezekiah that the sons that you will beget, they're going to be taken to Babylon. Isaiah told him that. Prophesied by the word of God. They're going to take your sons and they're going to take them to a foreign land, a strange land. I just can't help but think when Daniel of the king's seed, as Daniel chapter 1 says, I just can't help but believe Daniel's mind. He's saying, well, you know, the prophet said that God was going to send Hezekiah's boys to Babylon, and I'm one of his grandchildren, I'm one of his sons, and so I guess God's got a purpose for my life, and I'm a child of the king, a child of the king, and I know I've got a purpose. I don't understand what God's doing in my life. I don't understand all the pieces of my life that have fallen apart, but God's got to have a bigger purpose than just Jerusalem. God's got to have a bigger purpose than the temple and the fellowship and the family. Because if he didn't, then I have no purpose to live anymore. Can I get personal with you? If our wicked nation continues on this path and the Sodomites come in here and burn this church down and you can't meet anymore here, would you have a purpose to live? That's a hard question. I would never want that. I'd never desire that. But I'm telling you, Daniel found himself in a place. He didn't have a temple. He didn't have a synagogue. He didn't have a church. He didn't have anybody to sing "How Great Thou Art" to him. He wasn't able to hear the special music. He wasn't able to get together for men's prayer meeting. Amen. He wasn't able to get together with people to go soul winning on Thursday night or Saturday morning. He had nobody. But he said, I still got a reason to live. My purpose is bigger than my fellowship. I'm telling you, there's some people that they can't see the reason for their life outside of all these good things that God's put in our life to help us and to bless us. But we got a deeper purpose than that. Daniel,
your mom and dad's dead. You don't have a mom or dad to pray with you, son. You're young. You don't have them anymore. You don't have the influence in your life, Daniel. And you're a young man. What do you say to that, Daniel? I still have a purpose. Daniel, you've been made a eunuch in this house. You'll never be able to have a wife. You'll never be able to have a girlfriend. Daniel, you'll never be able to have any children. You cannot have a family. What do you say that, Daniel? Well, I still have a purpose for my life. Daniel, you can't go to the place where God was. You won't be able to hear them shout at the temple and sing to the glory of God, and you'll never smell the incense of the priest as he's fellowshipping with God for the people, and you'll never be able to take the sacrifices to the place that God would receive it. What do you think about that, Daniel? How are you going to make it? I still have a purpose for my life. Brethren, I watch all across this nation as the devil destroys homes and marriages and children and churches and fellowship. And I watch Christian people that lose their purpose. You say, how can I keep going when my child has gone this way? Because your purpose is bigger than your family. You see, I don't understand. If the purpose is not bigger than the family, then Daniel had no reason to live. He had no family. He could have no family. He had no children to lose. When our hearts break over our condition around, and Daniel says, that's nothing. I wish you could go with me for 2 or 3 weeks and see how I have to live in Babylon. But I've got a purpose. I still haven't told you what that is yet. Because I'm trying to get to Daniel purposing in his heart, that determination. Because until we get that determination and that resolve, then we can't be that vessel that God can pour forth through. But we'll never have the resolve until we have the purpose deep down in our soul.
It'll never come out unless it's deep down in there. My life's not an accident. God has, I'm a child of the King. I have a reason to live. My life has meaning. I'm put here for a reason. And I don't understand all the pieces, and all the pieces don't have to be right. But oh God, you got me here for a reason. For to me, to live is Christ. Don't misquote that verse. He didn't say, for me to live is to serve Christ. What if you get sick and you can't do anything? He just said, for me to live is Christ. I breathe Jesus. I sleep Jesus. I wake to Jesus. Our lives have more meaning than a video game or a movie or eating and drinking and being merry or toys or games or family or friends or our life has a deeper purpose, and my whole life should be about Jesus Christ. And unless my whole life is about Jesus Christ, the periphery will destroy my whole purpose. And I'm glad to tell you that He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same God of Daniel. He's the same God of Paul. He's the same God that's on the right hand of the Father. And He's my God. And I've got a reason to live because of my God. You see, when Daniel, look at Daniel 1. Watch verse 2. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. Now watch this. With part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. Heathen king bringing the vessels of God into a heathen land. But he brought more vessels than cups and spoons. He brought more vessels than forks and candlesticks. He didn't know that. But he brought more vessels of God into Babylon than he thought. Because the Bible says, verse 3, and the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldees. You know what he brought in? He brought some vessels of God walking in on two legs. I don't know how long we've been here, but I'm going to go over there. I'm running a rabbit right now. Go to Joshua. I like this rabbit. You silly rabbit. Look at Joshua 6. Boy, I like this. It makes me shout. Amen. Joshua 6, verse 17. It's about Jericho. Jericho is a bad place, a dirty place, and a cursed place. Everything in it, God says, cursed. Look at it. Joshua 6, 17. And the city shall be accursed. Now watch this now. Even it and all that are therein to the Lord. See that? Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she had the messengers that we sent. Verse 18, and ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing. Remember that, right? Chapter 7 about that. We could. He said, lest you make yourself accursed when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. Now, I want you to look at verse 19. It's strange to me. Verse 19, but all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the house of the Lord. Wait a minute, God. God, you said everything in that city's cursed. He said, yeah, but I'm going to take some vessels out of there and I'm going to consecrate them. And they were dirty, but I'm going to make them holy. And they were unclean. They were unclean, but I'm going to use them. I'm going to steal them from the devil and use them for the glory of God. So the Bible says, drop down here, verse 24, and they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein. I like that word, only. Only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. But that wasn't all the vessels they took out of Jericho. Look at the next verse. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive. You say, what's that got to do with the vessel of God? You know what God did with Rahab? He made her a vessel unto honor, and he took her body, that harlot woman, that woman that was in the cursed city, he took that harlot lady and used her body to bring forth David, who brought forth the Christ. Hallelujah. Took a vessel and used it as his vessel. What I'm trying to tell you is when Nebuchadnezzar brought those vessels in, he's bringing some boys in that he don't know it, but God's going to pour forth his righteousness and judgment and word and goodness and testimony and truth to change a whole world. Amen. You say, what can I do? You're probably not worse than the harlot. You're probably not worse off than the eunuch, the little boy. Having to start a new life in a strange land, scared and confused, with nobody, no preacher to pray with, no godly person to counsel him. But he said, I got a reason to be here. God sent me. Christian, you've got a purpose too. For all things work together for good. I don't understand that sometimes. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, there's your noun. His purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Yes. What's your purpose, Daniel? I don't know, but every day it seems like God makes me a little better. You see, why do you use that? Because that's what the Bible used. They looked at Daniel and said, that old boy right there, he's 10 times better. Isn't that what they said? And you know why? You know how else I know he's getting more like God? Because that King Darius at the end of the lines, and he said, your God is a steadfast God. And you know what Daniel was? He was a steadfast witness and a steadfast soldier for the Lord. He was like his God. Daniel showed those people what God was like. And God was conforming Daniel to the image of himself. Daniel said, I got a reason. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer. This is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures. Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. That's your purpose. Seems like some Christians get away from that. Now, if you think that doesn't have to do with missions, I just read Romans 8. You know what I didn't read? I didn't read Romans 9. Would you look at Romans 9?
Everybody doing all right? Because I'm having a good time preaching tonight. It helps me to know that I have a reason to be here. And I want to fulfill that purpose. And by the way, all the casualties of Christianity you see occur because somebody lost their purpose. We're not wanting you to be a success. We're wanting you to be like Jesus. What about that obscure little Christian somewhere that nobody ever heard of or know? Do they have a reason to live? They got just as much reason to live as anybody else. And that purpose is Jesus Christ. Do you want to be better? I don't know about you. Boy, there's a tugging in my heart. Hey, you know, you need to be better. You need to be more like Jesus. You need to be a better father, and you need to be a better husband, and you need to be a better preacher, and you need to be a better Christian, and you need to be a better witness. You say, oh, that's about man's work. No, that's trying to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, because I think Jesus Christ is a whole lot better than the life I'm living. Do you want to be better? You want to be like him? Forget about what somebody else wants you to be. You want to be like him? Because I'm telling you, if you don't want to be like him, you're going to throw up your arms. But as he molds you and makes you into his image, see, we want to do something before we are made something. Young man, we want to do something before we're made something. You can't purpose in your heart a determination to do something if you don't have the right purpose down in your soul. What's it all about? It's all about me being conformed to his image, but that same word is not just in Romans 8:28, it's in Romans 9. Because I think we all have a dual purpose. Somebody said, well, I'll just go out and be like Jesus. Well, that's not the testimony of Daniel. Daniel, Romans chapter 9, verse 17. Now remember, Romans 8:28. There's your purpose. Be conformed to the image of Christ. Romans 9, 17. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same here's your noun again, purpose. Have I raised thee up that I might show my power in thee and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth? My purpose, be conformed to his image, and then my purpose is to declare his name throughout the whole earth, and that's exactly what Daniel did. You say, well, that's about a heathen king Pharaoh. God even uses the wicked to promote his name. Amen. God will use the wrath of man to praise him. God will take the bad thing and put it out there so you can rejoice in the things of God and show how great he is. If it's just God destroying all that mess. God says, here's your purpose, Pharaoh. I'm going to let everybody know about me through your destruction. Well, I'd rather be like Paul, where Jesus said, for this purpose I've appeared unto thee, that you'd be a witness. That's Acts 26, verse 26. I'll just read to you. I get it wrong. Acts 26, 26, he says, 16, I'm sorry, Acts 26, 16. But rise, Jesus said, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. Why? Why, Jesus? Why did you appear to Paul? You appeared to Paul obviously for the purpose of making him like yourself, but he said, I've appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and those things in which I will appear unto thee. And he said in verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by
faith that is in me. Paul, your purpose is to be a witness. What's my purpose? Be conformed to Jesus' image. And then to take his name throughout the whole earth.
And I won't do number two very well if I don't get number one down very well.
Or I'll piddle around instead of God saying, that's a man I'm going to reach the whole world with. Because God can reach the whole world with Jesus.
So if you have a purpose, why don't you have a determination to do something about it?
Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Daniel said, you can bring that flesh, that meat all you want to. I don't want that. You can bring that wine, that booze all you want to. I'm not interested in that. I want to be a consecrated vessel unto my God. And I'm determined. I'm resolved. You know, my life is pretty messed up. I got a lot of baggage, but I'm determined. And what's my excuse?
We not only have it the best in the world, we probably had it in the best that anybody's ever had it in the world. And yet we don't have the determination that the devil has to do the things of God.
Daniel said, do whatever you want to do. I've purposed in my heart that I won't defile myself.
I think I need to hurry up and finish. But I want to give you two New Testament verses for that verb of determining and purposing in our heart. Would you go to Acts 11 with me? It's very, very interesting. I don't think there's anything accidental in the Bible, and God put this word together. I think for all eternity we're going to say, look at that. You see that? How do we have all those Bible conferences and we miss that? I mean, come on. And Jesus just says, turn over, look at that right there. Lord, I studied that for 40 years and I never saw that. I said the two nouns, Romans 8, Romans 9, one, purpose, being conformed. The other, his name be declared throughout the whole earth. Look at Acts 11 and get 2 Corinthians 8. Or 2 Corinthians 9. This is really interesting to me because what I did what all preachers are supposed to do, you know. When I study the Bible, I pulled up that thing, Brother Robbie, you know, Daniel purposed in his heart. So I'm going to look all through the Bible about purposing in your heart, right? You know, that the word purpose and heart only occurs together three times in the Bible. One's in Daniel and one's in Acts. And one's in 2 Corinthians. The verbs, purposing in your heart. Let's read it. Acts chapter 11, verse 23. Who, when he came, Acts 11, 23, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with, what does it say? Purpose of heart, they would what? Come here, Joel. Purpose of heart. Cleave.
That's cleaving.
That's cleaving. He said, you Gentiles that have been saved, you better purpose in your heart to cleave to God. Not this kind of deal. How you doing? Yeah. Oh no. Cleave. That's that word, a man, leave, you know, and cleave to his wife. You guys got that, don't you? Cleave. He said, you know what you need to determine to do? You need to determine to cleave to God. And that first verb, purposing in the heart, I think goes with that first noun of the purpose in the soul. We have a purpose to be like Jesus, and you're never going to be like him unless you take some determination and resolve to cleave to him and hug up to him and love him and say, Lord, I don't know what's going on in my family or my world or my life, but I love you and I want you and I'm going to stay with you and I bless your name. And I want you. Second Corinthians 8 or 9. You know it, don't you? Before I read it.
Second Corinthians 9 verse 7. Every man according as he what? Purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity. God loveth a cheerful giver. And that Bible says through that experiment, they will glorify God for your professed subjection to the gospel of Christ. When the gospel of, that's the end of the chapter, when the gospel is going all around the world because you're giving so that it can go. Maybe you purpose in your heart to give your faith promise. Maybe you purpose in your heart to give yourself. But I'm telling you, however you cut that, that's about giving to God so that his name may go throughout the whole earth. That he might be glorified. That's your purpose and it should be your determination. You know what I find out about Daniel? We're gonna kill you, boy. Well, what you gonna do? Well, I'm going to go cleave unto the Lord. You're going to shut your curtains? No. He's done too much for me now. And Lord, I'm going to bow and kneel 3 times because no matter what happens, I love you, God. I'm going to stay with you, God. And Lord, every time I get a chance, I'm going to give to you, even if it's my own neck, Lord. Because I got a purpose. Determined to follow through. Let's pray. Father, help us tonight. Help your children. Oh God, there's probably somebody in danger tonight because they're going through the motions and not cleaving unto thee. Lord, there's somebody probably in danger tonight because they're looking at this thing of taking your name throughout the whole earth, and yet they don't love you with all their heart. And they've lost the reason to live because of some tragedy or circumstance or disappointment. Help us to be like Daniel tonight, Father, and find that center of gravity of why we're here, and conform us to your image. Oh God, what can we do in this large world? Nothing but God, you're a great God, you're almighty God. Make us vessels unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work, and give us the spirit of giving and the determination to give our lives and our heart and our all and our money and our time and be resolved that your name would go throughout this whole earth in places that have never heard about you. Work in our hearts, Lord, that spirit. Please, we pray through the Holy Ghost. Amen.